This is the On the Line podcast.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
And we're back to another episode of the On the Line podcast. Here again with Noah. How you doing, man?
Doing great. How are you, man?
Dude, cannot complain. We missed the last week. Sorry to everybody who was waiting for the episode last week. Got caught up with some personal stuff. The election was last week. Crazy week. But we're back to recap week 9. Look ahead to week 10. I mean, this weekend had some really, really good games, Noah. I mean, Pittsburgh gave me a heart attack. And, I mean, there was just some young guys balling out. Tua and Kyler were going head-to-head. Josh Allen, your boy Josh Allen, had a big game against Seattle. I mean, there's just a lot to get into here. So let's get started right away with the Week 9 recap. And let's start here with the Ravens and Colts, man. I mean, I don't know what to make about these Ravens. The Ravens are, they won the game, but they did not look like the better team that day. And I really don't know what to make of them. Maybe you can give me some advice and some insight into what identity this team has, but it's concerning right now to me because the Ravens do not look as dynamic as they did last year.
Yeah, I mean, it's the struggles on offense. I don't think that they're really having too many struggles on defense. They seem to have found their identity. Decent pass rush all around. I think it's a pretty good defense. They force a lot of turnovers. They have one of the highest turnover differentials in the league. So they have a lot of playmakers on that side of the ball. It's a very talented group. So that kind of anchors them. And it's been keeping that team afloat because, like you said, I don't know what to make of them on the offensive side of the ball. I mean, is Lamar just going to run every time? Is he actually going to pass the ball this season? I mean, he's not anywhere near on pace for what he threw last year. I think it was 36 touchdowns and 6 interceptions, and he's nowhere close to that at the midpoint of the year. So they don't seem to really have an identity on offense. Their backfield's been banged up too. Mark Ingram has been out. It's kind of just like a backfield by committee with Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins, which two very solid running backs, but is it enough with that receiving group to, you know, really wreak some havoc? I don't think so. There are plenty of other more dominant offenses. So John Harbaugh is kind of just getting by with the offense and relying on his defense right now. It's been enough to win them games and keep them competitive because they have such an easy schedule, but they need to figure that offense out if they want to be a true playoff contender. They're definitely going to make the playoffs, in my opinion, but I don't know if they're going to be able to compete when the time comes.
Agreed. And if you just look at the box score here, Ravens won 24-10. You look at the turnovers is what killed Indianapolis. They had 2 turnovers. The Ravens had 1. But rushing yards favor the Colts. Passing yards favor the Colts. Total yards, the Colts. First downs, the Colts. The problem was that the Ravens were able to score 2 defensive or special team TDs, which kept them in the game. Other than that, if the Ravens did not have that, they would have lost this game. And it's kind of, I don't know. I feel like teams are sort of saying, you know, let's force Lamar to throw it here. They're crowding the box and it's not working again this year, like you said. So I think they're in a little bit of trouble here in terms of passing the ball, especially against some of these. I mean, Lamar only had 170 yards passing. It's going to get them into a little bit of trouble here down the stretch when they have to face some good teams, especially in the playoffs. They don't want to be a one and done like they were last year again. And it's looking like that if they don't fix their offense just a little bit. Let's move on to the Bills and the Seahawks game. Personally, one of my favorite games of the weekend to watch, and it was amazing. I mean, it was very high scoring, and the Bills had a pretty good lead during that game, which they started to let the Seahawks creep back in, and then they became a one-possession game, and then the Bills kind of kept a little bit of a reach on them there. So, you know, the Bills were able to close it out, but it was closer than people thought it would be. No, what is to say? we say this about a lot of teams every week. Does this say more about the Seahawks or does it say more about the Bills?
I think it says more about the Seahawks, to be honest, because if you go up against a decent pass attack, and that goes for any team across the league, the Seahawks are going to struggle. I'm not saying that Josh Allen and the Bills aren't a playoff team, but I mean, we've seen them play some very tight games to lower competition, at least from a record standpoint. So this Seahawks secondary has had every single quarterback put up numbers on them. It's no secret that it's one of the worst, if not the worst in the league. So to me, it's no surprise that Josh Allen had a good day. 415 yards, that's good for any quarterback against any team. So he did play very well, which is good because he bounced back from, you know, a couple of shaky weeks prior. But I think it does speak more about the Seahawks because it's not Russell Wilson's struggles. It's just that defense. And if you are going to force Russ in that offense to just put up points, they can do it. But, I mean, they let up 44 points to the Bills. I think the Dolphins' defense kept the Bills in check for most of their game that they played. I mean, they've played them very close. They've had a bunch of teams, just been a bunch of games with the Bills. I think it's six games that were one possession. And they just came out and the Seahawks D just let the Bills stomp on all over them. So I feel like it's more telling for the Seahawks because they're 6-2 and they've had some losses to the Cardinals and the Bills now, which nobody thought that either of those teams would have had a chance. So it just goes to show that they can be beat. They're not the top team in the NFC and they're definitely a beatable opponent.
I agree, Noah, and I don't think I'm too off base in saying this, but the Seahawks are not going to make it to the Super Bowl with that defense. And I feel bad for Russell Wilson because he's been asked to do it every single week, put the team on his back every week, and that defense blows. Granted, they got Carlos Dunlap at the trade deadline, but their secondary is horrendous. You just let Josh Allen pass for 400 yards. What was it? Three touchdowns on you? Come on. You're never going to win when you have to. Imagine when they have to go up against Aaron Rodgers. Like that, that's going to be bad, especially if they meet him in the playoffs. I mean, I don't even think, you know, imagine the Seahawks have to play the Buccaneers. How do you contain a healthy Godwin, Antonio Brown, and Mike Evans? They're going to be in trouble coming down the stretch here. I was coming into the week, I was kind of I thought they were a top five team. I think I'd put them outside. I don't know if that's a hot take, Noah, but I think I might put them outside my top five right now.
I don't think it's a hot take. Like you said, they've been asking Russell Wilson to do it again and again, time over time, and he just can't do it. I mean, and I'm not saying that he's not very talented. I said that he was the best quarterback in the league, and I still stand by it with the stats that he's been putting up this season, but can he carry it for the entire year and through the playoffs? I mean, you're asking a guy to put the team on his back for literally 20 games with no offensive line. And the one thing that I do think has really been impeding their further success, it's not their defense, it's actually their run game. Chris Carson's been injured. I think they had like maybe 60 yards rushing total in that game against the Bills. And we've seen plenty of teams run all over the Bills this season. They haven't had as good of a defense as they have in the past couple of years. So if it's just going to be Russell Wilson throwing the ball all the time, of course he's going to make mistakes. Everyone's pointing at now that he's throwing interceptions. He has no choice because they've been trailing the past couple of games they've played and they can't run the ball. So to me,
exactly,
like you said, it's a bad situation for Russell Wilson. I feel bad for him.
Yeah, I do too. And, you know, he can't carry the team all on his own shoulders. And it's definitely going to be tough for them coming down the stretch here. He had to throw 41 passes in that game because they were trailing like about the entire time. So, you know, they can't be doing that against even better teams than the Buffalo Bills. But let's go on to the Dolphins and Cardinals here. What a game. I mean, back and forth shootout. I don't think anyone thought that would happen. Kyler Murray, Tua Tagovailoa, which, Noah, I'll give you credit. You said Tua was going to play at some point this season. I didn't think that they were going to play him. They put him into action after the bye week against the Rams, beat them handedly. Granted, it wasn't all Tua. but that defense definitely stepped up. And then this week against the Cardinals, awesome. Awesome. He had a great game, and that whole Dolphins team did. They, like, that is a team that should be very excited about their future because they have a bunch of draft picks this year, and that team looks pretty good. They might finish second in that NFC East. So, you know, it's very good for the Dolphins and the Cardinals. That's a step back. That's a step back dropping one to the Dolphins, especially in that competitive NFC West. So I think it was a good win by the Dolphins there. Noah, what was your take on that?
Yeah, spot on. Like you said, Tua looked fantastic. Everyone was a little surprised that he came in this season because Ryan Fitzpatrick was doing so well, or at least he was playing competent. But, you know, Tua is their guy. Ryan Fitzpatrick's not the future. I think even he knew that. So kind of just a low blow for him because he's a grizzled vet. The team loves him, but Tua hasn't disappointed. I mean, he's 2-0. I will say, though, we haven't really seen Tua have to throw the ball that much. He looked much better in that Arizona game than he did in his first one. He didn't even have over, I think it was like 150 or 160 yards passing in that first win. They had a bunch of defensive and special.
Yeah, I think he only had 93 yards passing.
Wow.
In that first
yeah.
win.
See, I thought it was like around 150. So 93 is even lower. So, but I mean, you win a game with 93 yards. I don't know how many times he might never do that again, but, you know, getting his legs fresh, you know, new guy and new start. I mean, 2-0. You can't ask for anything more. I mean, the guy's barely played, you know, he's barely played any time. So that Dolphins team, like you said, they should be very excited about their future that he's able to just step in. He does look much better. So I hope we can see that progress keep going, but they have a ton of cap space and a ton of draft picks, like you said, and that AFC East looks bad right now.
Very
bad.
It
does not look like it's going to be getting any more competitive here in the near future. So the Dolphins are in a good position. Brian Flores is finally getting his quarterback, finally getting a good group together. So they could be a sneaky team next year. I don't know about this year. It might be too late for them, but definitely a team to watch out for in the coming months and then into next year.
I think so too. Noah, I got a quick question for you. I'm put you on the spot. Who do you think we're going to be more impressed with by the end of the season, Justin Herbert or Tua?
Well, right now Herbert's the big surprise because one, he stepped in before Tua, and he's been looking fantastic to me. I think right now I would definitely say it's Herbert because we've had such a larger sample size, but you know, all the eyes are on Tua because, you know, quarterback from Alabama, he was slated to be at least the better guy coming out of the draft. But then, you know, the injury concerns popped up and everything like that, and going to Miami didn't necessarily seem like the best fit. He's a lefty. There are all of these little, you know, little arguments that you can make. But I'm going to stick with Herbert, but it's going to be interesting to see. I think if Tua can continue to roll and they can continue to win the Dolphins, I think a lot of the media is going to shift their focus from Herbert to Tua because Herbert has had some bad losses with the Chargers. They've just been dropping one score games like nobody's business. I've never seen anything like it. They should probably have three more wins than they do right now. But I think, in my opinion, we'll be more impressed with Herbert at the end of the year.
I think your points are valid, but I think that Tua's set up in a better situation. Like you said, if Tua keeps winning, he could flip the script on that. You look at the Dolphins, dude, they're the sixth best team. They're in sixth place right now in the AFC. They have 5 wins, 3 losses. I mean, they're better than they have the same record as the Colts, same record as the Raiders. They're right in the thick of things for a wild card spot right now. So if Tua keeps playing at his high level, plus you got to think they have to play the Jets again. They have to play the Patriots again. And they have to play the Bills again, I'm pretty sure. So, you know, the Dolphins could knock off some wins here and maybe make the playoffs. So I'm excited for them. But like you said, Justin Herbert, he's balling down there at the Chargers. It's not his fault to keep blowing games. He's absolutely being an animal with the Chargers right now. But exciting stuff to watch out with Tua. Let's go to our last game of the week. Well, the weekend. It was the Bucks and the Saints on Sunday Night Football. Brady was supposed to come out and just absolutely ball out and, you know, silence any haters about how his, you know, how the Bucks are going to do this year, trying to keep that record up. And what happens? They lay one of the worst performances out on the field that I have ever seen watching football. They scored 3 points the whole game, gave up like 34 points to the New Orleans Saints. And Drew Brees, they got Michael Thomas back this week, but that's not acceptable. That defense was halted as one of the best so far. Tom Brady was coming in. He got his new weapon, Antonio Brown, and they still only managed 3 points. I don't know what happened that game. That's something you just want to forget about. But yeah, the Bucks laid a goose egg here. I mean, Noah, what was your take on that?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, that was one of the worst football games I think I've watched this entire year. And it was slated to be one of the best matchups. I think we picked it as one of the best matchups of the entire season in some of our preseason shows. So really disappointing in my eyes because, like you said, they add a new weapon in Antonio Brown. And they already have Rob Gronkowski, Mike Evans, and Chris Godwin. Like, and they added Leonard Fournette to that backfield with Ronald Jones. I mean, I just named, you know, very solid weapons all around. Antonio Brown, you know, 2 years ago was considered the best receiver in the league. So him alongside Chris Godwin's and Mike Evans, it blows my mind that they couldn't put up more than 3 points. And Brady was awful. He was absolutely the worst part about that game. That was probably the worst game that he's ever played. I think he would tell you that. If you ask him. So I don't think that this is the Bucks' identity, but geez, I mean, they're an extremely bipolar team, in my opinion. They've looked hot as hot could be, and they've now just looked absolutely cold. They lost a game to the Bears. They almost dropped one to the Giants. They had a huge comeback against the Chargers. I mean, I never know what team we're going to see with the Bucks. I mean, a new team shows up every week, it seems like.
Exactly. And it's scary. You know, the NFC right now, you could say that the, you know, even last year, I mean, you looked at the NFL landscape and you were like, oh, the NFC has the best teams. Like, the NFC is the strongest conference right now. I would like to say that I think the AFC is. You just, in the NFC, like you said, the inconsistencies with some teams, like the Saints looked dead in the water for a few weeks with Drew Brees. Now they come alive. Now the Bucks look like they're in a slump. The Packers look like they were in a slump. They lost to the Bucks and lost to the Vikings. I mean, the Seahawks right now coming off a loss to the Bills, and they lost to the Cardinals earlier. So I don't know what to make of any of these top teams in the NFC. The NFC East is just hot garbage. At least when you look at the AFC, you got the Chiefs. You know they're really good. Pittsburgh, 8-0, haven't lost yet. The Titans are a decent team. Everyone still knows the Ravens are a decent team. But, I mean, you look at these NFC teams, I think there's a lot more uncertainty over there, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree with everything you just said. AFC looks like it's more established. There's, you know, the handful of front runners and then the solid core of wild card teams and then a bunch of dog shit at the bottom. But the NFC, it's a madhouse. Every week, a team jumps up five and falls down five spots in the power rankings. That dynamic and that landscape of that conference is always changing. Every division seems like they're flip-flopping first place, second place, third place, you name it. I mean, we might see a completely different set of playoff teams from week 8 to week 16. I mean, how it looks right now might change completely at the end of the season. So the only team in my eyes that has really looked consistent, it's been the Packers. They had one bad game, and it was to the Bucs, surprisingly. But other than that, they look fantastic. So, but anyone else, I could not predict 2 through 7 right now. It's going to be a bumpy road for that NFC from here on out.
Definitely. definitely it will. Let's move into our fantasy studs and duds this week. Good week for fantasy football for some people, absolute duds for others. I mean, it was probably one of the lower scoring weeks, but some guys really boomed and some guys busted. So let's go through our studs right now. I'll start off here, Noah. I'll go with my two studs of the week, Christian McCaffrey and DJ Chark. Christian McCaffrey coming off a high ankle sprain, comes back first game against the Kansas City Chiefs, and absolutely just has a day. He had 18 carries for 69 yards and one rushing touchdown. And then he had 10 catches for 82 yards and another touchdown. So he picked up without missing a step, put up 32 fantasy points, went absolutely off. And it's good for him. It's good for him that he came back, but they said that he did suffer some sort of shoulder injury. So that'll be something to watch. And then another stud for me this week is a guy that we probably haven't mentioned his name much, if at all, DJ Chark against Houston. He had 7 catches, 146 yards and a touchdown, 25 fantasy points. Getting passed to, not by Minshew, but by, if I'm not mistaken, his name is what? Is it Looney? Oh, Lutton, excuse me. Getting passed through by a guy named Jake Lutton, throwing to DJ Chark, and DJ Chark put up points. I mean, they were in that game the whole time. So my two studs for the week, CMC and DJ Chark. What about you, Noah?
Yeah, those are two good picks, especially Chark. Had to go up against him in fantasy. Did not expect him to put up 25 points, considering I think he's dropped single digits every other week this year. But, you know, when you play against my team, it seems to be you always put up points. So good that he had a good game. But moving on to my studs, Dalvin Cook is my first one. I mean, dude's an absolute animal. Number one ranked running back in fantasy right now. Back-to-back 40-plus point weeks. 22 rushing attempts for 206 yards and 2 touchdowns. The man's an animal. He's an absolute beast. He is that offense. I think that they're going to be run first from here on out. It seems to be working for them. They seem to pick up momentum, so they're just going to keep feeding that man. So if you have Dalvin Cook, you're a lucky person. I mean, I think you're going to, I think he might win every single one of his owners a league. No one expected him to be playing this hot. But another guy, I was going to go with Devontae Adams, but I'm actually going to switch it up and go to Kyler Murray, because even though that he did lose to the Miami Dolphins, he had a fantastic game. 283 yards through the air and 3 touchdowns. He did have a fumble, but he also had 11 rushes for 106 yards and 1 touchdown. So if you throw for roughly 300 yards and rush for 100 yards, I mean, I don't care what anyone else says. It's a fantastic game. I don't know how they lost. I guess it's just Tua time, man. It's Tua time.
Tua time.
But
Tua time.
Kyler had a fantastic game. So props to him. 40 points. So those are my two studs.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, those are great picks right there. Absolutely having amazing weeks. So let's move on to the duds here. I'm going to start with one that hurt because he's on the team I like with James Conner here. You know, James Conner did not have the game that people thought that he would. And I don't know if it was because of the play calling or, you know, what they were, the game plan was, but he only had 9 carries. He had 22 yards on 9 carries. He only had 3 fantasy points. He had 2 catches for -2 yards. I mean, that whole Pittsburgh offense was kind of stagnant last week. So I don't know if I'd put that all on James Conner, but definitely not the week that you would expect out of James Conner, the 11th ranked running back in fantasy right now. He was on a streak, putting up double digit points every single week except for week one, and then drops that 3-pointer. So that kind of hurts a little bit. And then the biggest dud of the week to me has to be Tom Brady. Guy threw for 209 yards, no touchdowns, 3 picks. He had 2.36 points. Imagine needing like 10 points from your fantasy team and you have Brady left and you're like, oh my God, I'm definitely going to hit this. This, you know, Brady's going to get 10 points against the Saints, no doubt. And then he lays that 2.36 points. I'd be so pissed. But, you know, just an absolute horrific week for Tom Brady.
Yeah, you said it, man. I mean, you think Tom Brady's a lock for 10 points every single week that he plays. I don't know if he's ever had a worse game because he hardly ever throws picks. He's known for being one of the most efficient and game-managing quarterbacks out there. But, yeah, he had an awful performance, and which leads me to my dud, a guy that Brady was throwing to but clearly didn't do a good enough job. Rob Gronkowski had one catch for a whopping 2 yards. So he got me 0.7 points in fantasy this week. 0.7. Bad number. I don't even know what to say. I mean, granted, none of the other receivers did well either, but geez, I mean, they probably had at least over 5 yards receiving. So, but I guess that's a lot to ask for right now. And then I'll go to another guy who, he's not considered one of the better wide receivers in the NFL, but he's the wide receiver one in his offense, Darius Slayton. He's another one-catch guy this week. I love the one-catchers. He had 6 yards, though, so at least he tripled Gronk's yardage total. So, I mean, he stepped it up just to get over 1 point. I think he had 1.3 and a half point PPR, so... For Daniel Jones, number one target, and he had like 10 or 11 targets last week when they played the Bucs. For him to turn it around and drop a 1.3, that's a dud performance right there. Lands on my list, so those are my two duds.
Dude, that sucks. One catch from your fantasy's been kind of weird this year, I feel like. There's a lot of injuries. There's a lot of things going on that's just... really makes fantasy kind of weird. The whole COVID situation makes fantasy weird. So, I mean, it's been kind of weird this year, but one catch by each of those guys and you expect them to definitely get more. But let's move on to our Down to the Wire segment where we talk about pickups and drops that you guys should have from your fantasy teams here. Noah, I'll let you start here. Who's your what are your pickups for this week?
I'm going to start off with a guy on the Chicago Bears. Everyone's attention's on Allen Robinson in the past game, but Darnell Mooney. He's a guy who this year, I think he has 33 catches and zero drops. So he's extremely efficient. If you go watch the tape, he's an incredible route runner. Back-to-back five-catch outings. He did have a touchdown last week against New Orleans. No touchdown against Tennessee. But listen, I mean, they're going to be passing the ball from here on out, and they're getting into division games. So my guess is they have to throw in order to win. So Allen Robinson's going to eat up a lot of targets and a lot of attention from the top corners. But look, I mean, this guy, any guy that gets five catches in back-to-back games – you got to keep an eye out for him. So I think he's a very skilled player. He's my one ad for the week. Another ad, if you're going to take a chance on them, I would say that Tevin Coleman coming back from injury, he could be a guy to stash, but that 49ers backfield is a mess. So, but it seems like a lot of teams and a lot of fantasy owners this year are having trouble at the running back spot. So who knows who's going to play. But that 49ers backfield seems like that they drop a running back every week. So Tevin Coleman has been in that offense for, you know, quite some time. He's a good presence there. Kyle Shanahan likes to use him when healthy. So I'd stash him on your bench. Take a chance on him because who knows? They'll probably drop another running back. Someone will tear a ligament or roll an ankle here. So. Those are my two ads.
Someone's going to get hurt. Someone's going to get hurt, dude. Someone's always hurt in that backfield.
I just know that they will.
It's what happens in that backfield, dude. Someone always gets hurt. But those are good ads for this week. My ads for this week, I'm going to go – I have three ads this week. One, Duke Johnson. David Johnson went down, and Duke Johnson's going to be taking over the load for this weekend. And, I mean, he could turn up there when they go and play the Cleveland Browns. You know, everyone remembers this is against his old team too. So he could possibly have a big game. So look for Duke Johnson there. Nelson Agholor, another big one. Henry Ruggs is going to be one of my drops, but Henry Ruggs has just not been pulling his weight. Nelson Agholor, he's been a very attractive pick for our player for the last couple games here, and it seems to be one of Derek Carr's favorite targets outside of Darren Waller. So, you know, look for Nelson Agholor. And, you know, another one that if you have a bench spot open, look at Jordan Wilkins. I mean, Jordan Wilkins down there in Indianapolis. Jonathan Taylor has had his problems, his fumbling problems. So it's not really been great for Jonathan Taylor right now. And Jordan Wilkins is starting to pick up carries there in Indianapolis. So I would look for Jordan Wilkins. If he starts to get more carries from Jonathan Taylor, they might start phasing him in a little bit more here. So if you have an open bench spot, look at Jordan Wilkins. I don't think he's owned in a large percentage of leagues, so that could be a nice stash there. And then my two drops of the week, I'm going to go with Henry Ruggs. Like I said before, he's not putting up the production people thought. I totally whiffed on him. I thought he was going to have the best rookie wide receiver season out of all the guys. It was looking like CeeDee Lamb in the beginning, but now it's shifting more towards Jerry Jeudy, Justin Jefferson. So Henry Ruggs, I would definitely drop here. And then another one is Le'Veon Bell. I mean, when Le'Veon Bell owners got excited, I was one of them that got excited as soon as he was traded, or excuse me, not traded, picked up by the Chiefs, but he has been doing absolutely nothing. They don't really use him. I mean, I don't know if the game plan is going to change just for one player coming down the stretch here, but I would look to drop Le'Veon Bell. He's not really that productive anymore. And a bonus one, Noah, I don't know if I'm saying this a little too early, but Devin Singletary. I mean, the guy hasn't put up double-digit numbers since, I believe it's week 4 or week 5, he hasn't put up double-digit numbers. He's been slacking, so I mean, it might be cautious or at least time to stash him on your bench. Don't start Devin Singletary anymore. I don't think that his production's up there. So those are my ads and drops for the week.
Yeah, I like both of those. Very solid insights from you, Mark, as always. I don't know about Devin Singletary just yet. I mean, him and Moss have been splitting time, but he has not been productive at all. Not at the level anybody had hoped for. So, like you said, definitely put him on your bench. And if he continues to do poorly, I would definitely drop him. Getting into my first one for my drops, Michael Gallup. Look, the entire Dallas Cowboys receiving corps and just their offense in general has suffered from losing Dak and Andy Dalton. Dalton will eventually be back, but what we saw against Arizona a couple of weeks ago does not seem to, you know, raise anyone's eyebrows about the possibilities of Cowboys wide receivers doing nearly as well with Dak. And Michael Gallup, not Dallas Goedert. I don't know why I said that. Michael Gallup. He's the third wide receiver in that offense. It's Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb. I mean, those two are clearly more talented and should get more of the targets. So if you haven't dropped Michael Gallup already, that guy has had one double-digit week this entire year, and he has not had that kind of production since week 3 against Seattle. So I would definitely drop him. You don't want to play him, even though I think he's a decent talent. He just does not have a QB, and that offense sucks. So definitely drop him. And then another guy who I'm surprised he's still owned in 50% of leagues is James White. He's the 61st ranked running back this year. Granted, he's missed a couple of games to injury, and he also had to sit one out because of the passing of a family member. But still, his last 3 weeks, he has put up 0.8, 4.5, and 4.4 points. He has not had a single touchdown all season, and his receiving numbers are down. That Patriots offense is a mess, and everyone's just looking to stack the box because they know they're either going to run it or Cam Newton's going to roll out and do some trick play. So that goes for James White and pretty much any other Patriots running back. Just drop him. You don't want to play him. Maybe keep Damian Harris because he looks to be the most promising, but James White, definitely get him off your team. You're wasting a bench spot there.
I like those picks there too. I think James White, like you said, he's phasing out. Damian Harris looks to be the running back that they like there. But you're right, dude, 100%. It's time. And Michael Gallup, it's time to drop those guys. They're just not living up to the expectations that people had a few weeks ago. But let's go on here to our week 10 predictions. We're flying through the show here. Let's go on to our week 10 predictions, though. Bunch of good games this week. I mean, it's going to be... There's a lot of toss-ups here, a lot of ones that Noah and I disagree upon. So let's get to it. Titans-Colts Thursday night. We both picked the Titans here, like Derrick Henry in that matchup. Browns-Texans. I was leaning Texans, but I think we both went Browns here. Look for the Browns there. Washington-Lions. Both took the Lions here. Buccaneers-Panthers. We both took the Bucs here just because they need to get back on track. If they lose this game, they're in trouble. Packers Jaguars, probably the easiest game to pick this weekend. We both took the Packers there. And then we move on to the Raiders and Broncos. The Raiders are looking hot right now at 5-3. They could knock off the Broncos pretty easily. I don't believe in Drew Lock yet, so let's look at the Raiders there. Seahawks Rams, both went with the Seahawks, but it's going to be a good game. And Russell Wilson is going to have his work cut out for him there. Bengals Steelers. This is a tough one just because Pittsburgh is having COVID problems. So if Big Ben can't play against Cincinnati, it could be an interesting game. But for right now, we're going to go with the Steelers. 49ers Saints. We both picked the Saints there too. The 49ers are too unhealthy to really pick in any game. The Ravens Patriots. Ravens are going to destroy the Patriots, especially after the way they looked against the Jets. And then Vikings Bears Monday night. I took the Bears. Noah, did you take the Bears or did you take the Vikings?
Took the Bears. Not believing in okay. Kirk Cousins right now, so going with the Bears. Your Bears.
Yeah, gotta go with the Bears there. Dude, yeah, gotta go with the Bears there on Monday night. So let's go back to the controversial ones here. Noah, Eagles, Giants. Who do you think is going to win that one?
Well, I predicted the Eagles would beat the Giants the last time they played. And honestly, the Giants should have won. I don't know how the Eagles did. So I'm going to pick the Giants now. They're playing the Eagles at home. And they've been, I don't want to say that they've been on a roll, but they almost beat the Eagles, almost beat the Bucks. And I believe they beat the football team last week. Is that right? Football team? They played football team?
Correct. The Giants did, correct.
So, look, that division is still up for grabs. I don't know how. I think that division winner is going to end up with, like, 6 wins, which sucks. But, look, they're at home. They have a bad taste in their mouth, and they know that division's up for grabs because if anybody has their stock rising, I got to say, I mean, I guess it's the New York Giants. They're all gross in that division, but still, I'm going to roll with them. Carson Wentz just does not look good. I'm not saying Daniel Jones is the future. I mean, I think he leads the league in turnovers right now, but that defense looks like it has something clicking, and Jason Garrett is doing a good job on offense, calling plays and trying to make something out of nothing because he does not have his number one weapon, Saquon Barkley. So, I'm just banking on the Giants to keep their momentum rolling, whatever little momentum it is, but keep it rolling here. I think they'll beat the Eagles.
They also have one of the best linebackers in the game right now in Blake Martinez. He's having an absolute stellar season there for the Giants. I'm going to go with the Eagles, though. The Eagles get Jalen Reagor back. They get Miles Sanders back. And they're coming off a bye, so it could be really good for them, energized and charged. I mean, I can't imagine Doug Peterson's going to let them lose to the Giants here. They need to win this game to maintain any sort of competitive advantage in the NFC East here. So, yeah, I think the Eagles, it's a must-win for them, especially coming off a bye. I think they absolutely need to win. And Miles Sanders is back. He could have a big game. He could. Last time that they played the Giants, they only had Boston Scott and they didn't have Reagor. They had Fulgham. And I don't know if Alshon Jeffrey's playing this week, but if he is, that's even more more incentive for me to pick the Eagles. But I do think the Eagles are going to have a good week this week against the Giants. The Bills are playing the Cardinals this week. And this is a good game. This is a very good game. And Noah, I want to hear your take first. Who are you picking in this game?
I'm going to go with the Cardinals here. Listen, I think Kyler Murray is the better quarterback here. Bills are going to be riding high off of that win last week from the Seahawks, but that was a very, very leaky secondary, and we saw that the Cardinals were able to beat them too. I think that the Seahawks played a much worse game against the Bills, and they played a much better game against the Cardinals, so I think that they're the stronger team. They're also coming off of a heartbreaking loss against a Dolphins team who, even though I do think that the Cardinals should have won, they're the hottest in the league right now. I mean, they have a new quarterback and their defense is actually playing well. So Cardinals have lost to a tough opponent, and the Bills are coming off of a surprise win, but a very weak secondary. So I think it's going to be a very tight game. Kyler and Josh Allen are both kind of mobile quarterbacks and can also throw the ball. I think Kyler and that offense is a little better. Kenyon Drake's coming back, so it's not that much of a help, but at least him and Chase Edmonds will be able to be on the field at the same time at some points, and D-Hop's just a stud. So I think it's too much for that Bills secondary to handle, so I'm going to go with the Cardinals here. What do you got?
I'm going to go with the Bills. I'm going to go to the opposite side. I think the Bills are coming off a big win. They know that they need to keep the momentum rolling here. Josh Allen looked good. But, I mean, when you think about it, Kyler Murray's, he can run. And that run defense is bad. You know, they might have a tough time containing DeAndre Hopkins. So it's going to be a good game. But I do think the Bills are going to edge him out. Who's home for this one, by the way? Do you know who's home for this game?
I think it might be the Cardinals, but I'm not sure. Bills were home last week.
It is. Oh, that's big. That's big because the Bills have to cross all the way across the country. I might end up taking the Cardinals this weekend, but for right now, I'm going to stick with the Bills.
Can't go back, man.
For right now, I'm going to stick with the Bills. I think they might be able to pull it out. And your favorite quarterback, Josh Allen. I know you really like him. I know you really like him.
He's a cutie.
But let's go on to another good game this weekend. Chargers and Dolphins. Dolphins coming off a big win. Chargers coming off another almost win. I'm going to pick the Chargers here. I think Justin Herbert's going to ball. I think Tua might have a tough time against the Chargers because the Chargers could put up points. And not to say that the Dolphins can't, but I'd have to imagine there might be a little bit of a regression here. I think the Chargers might be able to pull off the win here in Miami against the Dolphins in Tua and hand him his first loss. Noah, what do you think?
I want to agree with you because, like I said, I think Herbert is the better quarterback right now, and I think people will say that at the end of the year as well. But look, if there's any team that's a surprise and wants to keep their momentum going, it's these Dolphins. Brian Flores finally has a decent team together, and the Chargers have lost way too many close games, and this Dolphins defense is no slouch. It's very solid. I wouldn't say that their offense is that solid. Obviously, Tua still has to grow into his shoes a little bit. Herbert's had a lot more time to be more comfortable in that pocket, but we've seen their defense blow leads. We've seen them give up 30 plus points in multiple weeks. So it's an easier matchup for Tua. It's going to be a very close one. I honestly think this might be the game of the week because it's two rookie quarterbacks on two teams that are really just looking to turn things around for them. So it's a super exciting matchup, but I'm just going to stick with the hot hand right now, and I'm going to go with Tua and the Dolphins.
It'll be, like you said, great game, and I'm really excited for it, but I am going to stick with the Chargers. And we'll keep track and compare how that does this week, dude. But I like the Chargers this week. It's going to be a great game. And all these games are going to be really good. Even Seahawks-Rams, that's going to be a great game. There's just a bunch of good ones. Even Packers-Jags, man. I know you're really looking forward to that one at 1 o'clock. So,
loving that, dude. What, Lutton and who else is out there for the Jaguars? That's exciting.
James Robinson.
Robinson, yeah. LaVisca Chenault, dude, stars.
But, oh, my God, yeah. Oh, my God. That's why we watch football, for those guys. Let's move on to our last segment here, where it's past the halfway point, we're going to look at our picks for the play to make the playoffs that we made the week before the season started. So let's jump right in here. Noah, you and I both picked the Ravens to win the North, which right now Pittsburgh is. Do you think that the Ravens are going to win the North, or do you think Pittsburgh's going to hold on?
I do think Pittsburgh's going to hold on. You asked me that 2 weeks ago. I still think that the Ravens would have been the better team, but they got a really critical win over Baltimore. Having that at least goes down to a tiebreaker. My guess is Baltimore could, and early prediction, will beat the Steelers in that second matchup. It's really hard to win in Heinz Field, but if they want to be competitive, they got to split with them. So, but I still think the Steelers are going to hold on. I mean, I think what, Ravens are 6-2 right now. Steelers don't have to play the Chiefs, and the Ravens lost to them, so that's a big help. As long as Ben can stay healthy, the Steelers have a super easy schedule, and they have a 2-game lead over the Ravens. So in my opinion, it's not going to be, you know, there's not going to be enough time for the Ravens to overtake them. I still think that the Steelers will hold on.
I agree here. I think Pittsburgh's going to hold on. I think that was a whiff by both of us, but I think that's also a whiff by a lot of people that, you know, no one expected Pittsburgh to come out like this, start off 8-0, first time in franchise history. This is historic, and they're doing really well. Yeah, I agree with you. I think Pittsburgh's going to win it, and then the Ravens might make the wild card. Let's go to the NFC East, which looks pretty bad, except for the Bills and the Dolphins are coming up behind them. Bills currently lead that division. Noah, we both picked the Bills to win the East. Do you still believe in the Bills?
I do, yeah. I mean, you know, the Jets and the Patriots are, they just look horrible, bottom of the pile. I mean, they're two of the worst teams in the league, but those Dolphins, man, they're sneaky. I just don't think that the Bills are going to let the Dolphins just come out of nowhere and beat them. If it does, it'll be super exciting, but I think we're going to stick true with our prediction here. I think the Bills are a safe bet to win that division. It's going to be a tough task for Miami to dethrone the Bills this year, especially because just, you know, there's no chance of either the Pats or the Jets upsetting the Bills in the division, in my opinion. So,
yep. I agree here. I think the Bills are still, I think that's a good pick by us. I think the Bills are still going to hold on. Let's go to the AFC South here. Noah, you picked the Colts to win the division. I picked the Titans to win the division. Right now, the Titans lead the division with 6 wins, 2 losses. Colts game behind, 5 wins, 3 losses. And they play this Thursday night, so this is a big game. Noah, what do you think? You're still going to hold on and stick true with that Indianapolis Colts winning the South prediction?
It pains me to give you credit here, but I'm going to have to flip-flop. I'm going to have to, you know, bow down, give the credit to you, man. I do think the Titans are the better team. Like you said, critical game coming up this week. They're playing each other. Whoever wins this, definitely, you know, I don't want to say if the Titans win this, they definitely decide the division, and I think they take it. Obviously, if the Colts win, it's a much tighter race. But even then, I don't think this Colts team just has enough on offense to get it done. Their defense is very solid, especially their run D. But, you know, Phillip Rivers just does not look as good as I thought he would be or anyone thought he would be. So going to have to go with the Titans here. Colts could still be a wild card team, so it's not a complete miss by me, but yeah, I think the Titans are definitely going to win the division.
Yeah, I agree. I think the Titans are. I appreciate that little praise there, but the Colts, I think they're still a playoff team. They're just not going to win the division. Phillip Rivers looks like he's in trouble with that arm. Do we even need to talk about the AFC West? I mean, I don't think we do. I think everyone knows the Chiefs are going to win that division, barring anything catastrophic. So Chiefs 8-1, probably the best team in the league right now. Yeah, that's a good pick by us. Look at that. Look at that. We got one exactly correct.
Boom.
And the Bills. That's two.
There we go.
Wild card. Your picks for the wild card. We're going to go Browns, Pittsburgh, Titans. I like it. You know, I think two of those three teams are definitely going to make the playoffs. I think the Browns here, Noah, are you still going to stick with them? You still think that they're going to make that wild card spot? They're 5-3, third in the AFC North right now, tied with a bunch of other teams, including the Raiders, the Colts, the Dolphins. Do you think the Browns are going to be the team to take that spot?
Well, out of those teams that you mentioned, I mean, two are going to make it, right? Like, I predicted that the Colts would win the division, but, you know, they kind of flip-flop with the Titans in my wild card predictions. So, like you said, it's what, Raiders, Dolphins, Colts, Browns, all at sort of that, like, 5-3 mark. Look,
right.
I said this at the beginning of the year, that the Browns would make it at, what, 9-7. I said they were a 9-7 team, and it would just be because they have an easy schedule. Still holds true in my eyes, and they've been without a key component of their offense in Nick Chubb. Granted, they did lose Odell to injury, but they're not a pass-first team, and I don't think he's won them a single game when he's been in. He hasn't been that big of a factor, but Nick Chubb is. So they still continue to play a very easy schedule. Their defense does not look like it's a slouch. They've had a couple of bad games, but for the most part, I think it's a pretty well-rounded group. Myles Garrett's still a very solid player, and Denzel Ward's a good corner. So I'm going to stick with this one. I won't turn it over like I did with the Titans. I'm going to stick true here. Come on, Brownies, man. Just make the playoffs like one time. I can't remember. When was the last time that they made the playoffs? It had to have been in like the 90s.
Early 2000s. Early probably, 2000s. I would say early 2000s, but yeah, I mean, you're going to stick with the Browns here. And for a little contrast, my picks were the Colts, the Steelers, and the Texans. So at least you didn't boof anything the like Texans. I did here. Picking the Texans at 2-6, their window is closed on making the playoffs this year. Yeah, I'm going to substitute out the Texans. I'm going to keep the Colts in there. I'm going to keep the Steelers in there, but I am going to flip, and I want to say the Browns, but the Raiders are balling right now. John Gruden has the Raiders going. That defense looks decent. It's holding on. Waller's a beast. Derek Carr is going off, and Josh Jacobs has the ability to have big games. For me, it comes down to the QB. And looking at Baker versus Derek Carr, I'd rather have Derek Carr right now. So, I mean, Baker lost his best weapon in Odell Beckham Jr. That's going to hurt him. They are coming off a bye and getting Nick Chubb back. So they definitely, the run game is going to get going. But I do like the Raiders here. But it's going to be close. I think it could be the Browns, dude. I think that pick is just as good. You know, it holds just as much water, but I'm going to have to go with the Raiders. That's what my gut's saying right now. What do you think of that?
I mean, the Raiders are a hot team for sure. Out of the four in that sort of, you know, wild card race, they're definitely the hottest team in my opinion. And I think they've definitely played the toughest schedule. Like you said, John Gruden. Love John Gruden on this show. He's a character.
Love him.
Love him. But yeah, man. Definitely, if I had the choice between Derek Carr and Baker Mayfield, I'm taking Derek Carr. I think Baker has better pieces around him. They have pretty equal defenses in my eyes, average to above average groups, but nothing that, you know, it's nothing like a Steelers defense or a Ravens defense. But yeah, it's going to be a tight one. I think that the Ravens are the hotter team, but I just think that the Browns have an easier schedule. So,
What is their schedule? What is their schedule coming up?
If I'm not mistaken, Cleveland.
I pulled up the Raiders schedule.
The Raiders, all right.
And let's count them out. Let's count out the wins here and see what we project their win totals to be for each team.
Okay, I'm gonna start with the Browns. So we have
With the Browns.
With the Texans, I think that they can beat the Texans.
Okay.
They play the Eagles. I think that they can beat the Eagles.
They could beat the Eagles.
I think that they'll beat the Jaguars. And that's a good three-game stretch. Yep. It's pretty easy.
That's three games in a row.
All right. And then they play the Titans and then the Ravens. I think they're going to drop both of those.
That's two losses. So they're 3-2 right now.
This is a sneaky one. They should win it. But the Giants seem to be the only team in that NFC East that can give anyone a run for their money. But The Browns should edge them out there. I'm going to give them that win.
Give them the win.
I'm going to give them the win against the Jets because it's the Jets. They have no business winning that game if they want to have the, you know, a good pick. So, and okay. Then they play the Steelers. I don't know how that game is going to go because think about it. The Steelers are 8-0 right now, and they'll probably be in that. I'd say it's safe to say that they'd be above 11 to 12 wins. That's week 17. You know, are they going to bench Ben, especially with his health concerns? You don't want to just risk his arm going into the playoffs. So maybe they could win, maybe not. But if I had to say with all of their starters in, the Steelers would definitely beat the Browns. But
I think it's going to be tough because I think the last week of the season is going to matter a lot more because there's only one bye week. There's only one team with a bye week this year.
Right.
So if it comes down to the Chiefs and the Steelers, you know, for some reason the Chiefs might have a head to head over the Steelers. The Steelers, even though they're undefeated, would, you know, that's assuming they are undefeated, which they're probably not going to be, and the Chiefs only have one loss. You know, if it comes down to it, Pittsburgh's probably going to have to play their starters, so we'll give them a loss there.
So that's 5-3.
Yeah, 5-3 down the stretch. That puts them at 10-6. 10-6 on the season for the Browns. That looks pretty good. I don't disagree with any of those picks there. I'm going to read you the Raiders schedule, excuse me, right now. This weekend they play the Broncos. I think that's a win. I think they can beat the Broncos. They play the Chiefs on Sunday Night Football, I believe. I don't think they're going to beat the Chiefs.
I don't either. I think they want revenge.
Yeah, they play the Falcons. Could be a trap game, but I think after playing the Chiefs, I think the Raiders are going to beat the Falcons.
I do as well.
I think they can. They play the Jets. I think they're going to beat the Jets. They play the Colts. That's a tough game. I don't know. I think the Raiders are a better team than the Colts. Plus, you know, that's a must-win game. You think about it, they're probably going to have very similar records. That's going to be a must-win game there. So I'm going to give it to the Raiders. I don't know about you, Noah. What do you think about that? Raiders over Colts?
I think the Raiders are definitely the better team. I don't know who's going to win that game. Whoever wins that game, in my opinion, pretty much takes the wild card out of the two because Colts going down one game to the Raiders and with that easy Browns schedule, I mean, that's going to hurt for them. It's going to hurt for either team that loses that game. I'll give it to you, though. I think the Raiders are the better team, so they should edge them out.
Okay, then they play the Chargers, which I think they can beat again. It was a close game, but I think they can beat the Chargers. The Dolphins, I'll say they lose that game. I'll say Miami comes up. And think about it, that game, they're 5-3 too. What, that game could have playoff implications in it as well.
It does.
The Dolphins, you know, the Dolphins beat the Raiders there. That could put them in serious jeopardy, but I'll give the Dolphins a win there. And then they play the Broncos to finish the season, who I think they can beat again. I think they're going to beat them again. So you're looking at 6-2. Down the stretch, an 11-win team with the Raiders. Now, they're probably going to lose one more game in that stretch. I don't think they're only going to lose to the Chiefs and the Dolphins. But they could drop one along the way. But 6-2, that looks good. But like we said, the AFC is so up in the air right now. Like, the Colts are right there. The Dolphins are right there. And they all have to play each other. So it's all going to get very interesting down the stretch here.
I will say it does bode well for the Cleveland Browns because they don't really have any games left in their schedule that have playoff implications. It's only on them. If they lose, it's on them that they throw it away. For the Raiders, they're battling multiple playoff teams in the Colts and the Dolphins. So those are two big games. The winner of those games clearly has an advantage in getting the wild card. And there's two spots up, right? Because if the Steelers win the division, which I think that they will, Ravens are definitely the first wild card. And then Titans, in my opinion, will win the division as well. So then it comes down to the four teams we mentioned. So in a perfect world, I think that the Raiders and the Browns honestly might be the two teams to do it, but you never know. It's going to be a bumpy ride, like you said. A lot of games up in the air.
Yep. Definitely. Let's go on to the NFC here, which, you know, it's going to be very interesting in the NFC as well. Starting off the season, we both picked the Packers to win. I think we both feel the same way, Noah. I think the Packers are going to win. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, no question. They definitely look like the best team in that division. It seems like it's the Packers and then the rest of them. Bears, their record to me, like I said at the beginning of the year, a couple of weeks into the season, their record is sort of inflated. They're not as good as it showed earlier in the year, but they're not a bad team, but they're nowhere close to the Packers, and they're the only team, in my opinion, that has a chance to sort of sneak up on them in that division. So definitely the Pack.
Definitely. Let's go on to the NFC South. There was a big matchup this weekend. Saints totally blew out the Bucs. We both picked the Saints beginning of the season. It wasn't looking good a few weeks ago, but now it's looking great. The Saints look good. They look back with Michael Thomas. I like it. I'm going to stick with the Saints here. What do you think, Noah?
Yeah, man. I'll take any chance to be right. I'm taking it, man. Roll with the Saints. Of course. And they blew out the Bucs. So to me, they've beat them twice. Right? They beat them the first week and then they just steamrolled them. So I don't think anyone else in that division really has a chance unless they have some catastrophic meltdown. I think it's the Saints division for sure.
Yeah, I agree. Let's go on to the big whiff we had before we go on to the disagreement. Let's go to the big whiff. NFC West, we both picked the 49ers. Now, who would have thought that Jimmy Garoppolo and all the receivers and basically all the good players on that team would go down at some point in the season? Yeah, exactly. The whole team went down. No one could have saw that coming. But, I mean, they're going to finish last in that division. The Seahawks look like the best team right now. Noah, who would you pick right now to replace the 49ers pick that we made? That was awful.
I mean, out of that division, I'd say Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals, but there are a lot of teams in the NFC that are kind of, you know, in that same position that the Raiders and the Browns are at that, like, you know, 5-3 mark. There's a lot of teams. I would go with the Cardinals in that division. Also, I'll jump ahead. In addition to picking the 49ers, I did not pick the Seahawks to even make it as a wild card team, which to me is astounding. So that's a double whiff. I believe you said that you picked Seattle to be a wild card team, but geez, for me, I mean, I completely boofed that. I don't know how.
It's tough because at the beginning of the season, Seattle didn't look like they would. The emergence of DK Metcalf has really helped Seattle. And Russell Wilson's just still a beast. Russell Wilson is still a beast. That defense needs help. Bringing Jamal Adams did not help them enough because he hasn't been on the field. And, you know, they need help on that defense. But I would pick Seattle to win that division, actually. I think Seattle, you know, for some reason, the Rams can't seem to get it together. They're hot and cold. And the Cardinals are hot and cold, too. They drop games that they should win, and the Rams do the same. I mean, Seattle does the same thing. I mean, at one point, I just have to pick which QB I like the best. And I would say Russell Wilson is one of the best QBs, if not the best QB in the league right now. So I'm going to roll with Seattle here to win that division. But let's look at our NFC East picks. You picked the Eagles. I picked the Cowboys. Which my pick is looking horrible right now because, you know, Dak Prescott went down and nobody saw that coming. But, yeah, my picks look terrible. Noah, picking the Eagles, the best team out of the, as Skip Bayless would say, the NFC least, the best team, the Philadelphia Eagles. Noah, I think the Eagles are going to win this division. I think you were right. I think they're the best team out of – all the bad teams there. No, what do you think? You going to stick with your pick?
I'm not. Listen, again, I would love to be right.
Really?
I would love to be right, but look.
No way.
First off, I'll say this. No team in that division deserves to even win a division, let alone, you know, be a 500 team. All of them suck.
Agreed.
If they played any decent schedule, they would be, you know, they would all be 4-12, 5-11 or under. But I am going to switch. Like I said, I don't believe in Carson Wentz. I've watched him decline over the past couple of weeks. It started out at the beginning of the year that Carson has no help. Okay, well, he's still playing worse than he did last year, and he didn't have any help last year. I don't know what's going on with him. I don't know if it's a confidence thing. Maybe he's seeing Nick Foles over in Chicago having, you know, this winning record, and I don't know, man. Maybe he's...
He's got the yips.
He's off, and I'm not saying Daniel Jones is going to light the world on fire, but at least he's looking competent in my eyes. I think that the Giants are going to come out and shock the nation. They're going to come out here.
Shock the nation.
They're going to come out. They're going to beat the Eagles, and they're going to take a leg up, and I think that they're just going to roll with it. I think the Giants are going to win the division, which is funny because we were pissing on Dave Gettleman saying that they were, you know, much improved. Whatever the newspaper quote was that you read in one of the early shows.
Right. Right. I said that, yeah, he thinks that it was one of the best teams to date, which we shouldn't. I mean, they did come off two wins against Washington, or their two wins. They only have two wins the whole season. The Eagles are winning the division right now with three wins, and I still think the Eagles are going to win just because they have that tie. And I think that tie might put them over the top here. But this is a big game this weekend. The Giants, if they want to have any chance, they need to beat the Eagles this weekend. So, Noah, you picked the Giants this weekend, and you picked them to win the division. You went against your own original pick. I love the balls there, man.
Got to have balls, man. Got to take shots in this world. Got to take your chance.
You definitely do. That was great. We'll see. I'll hold you to that one. Let's just go through real quick the wild card teams that we picked at the beginning of the season. So, I mean, I picked the Falcons. Everyone knows I love the Falcons, but they let me down. They let me down, and they're definitely not making the playoffs now. So that was a bad pick. I picked the Buccaneers. I definitely still think that's an accurate pick for them. They're going to make the playoffs just as a wild card team. So I have no problem with that. And I picked the Seahawks. But the Seahawks right now, you know, they're looking like they're going to win the division. So I need another team here at the wild card spot. If I had to pick one, I would probably go with the LA Rams. I think the Rams are better than the Cardinals as a team as a whole. I think their defense is solid. I think that their offense, when they're clicking, is solid. Their run game's a little shaky, but their pass game with Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp, Tyler Higbee, Gerald Everett, that could start to click. So I'm going to go with the Rams here in the wild card spot. I was tempted to pick the Bears, but you know, their magic is seeming to run. It's running a little bit off of them right now. So you know, I'm going to go with the Rams right now. So my wild card teams coming up are going to be the Bucks. It's going to be the Rams. And I need one more because, yeah, I picked the Falcons.
Maybe it could be the Cardinals. Jeez.
It could be the Cardinals. You know what? Ooh, is it going to be the Cardinals? You know what? I'm actually going to roll with the Bears here. I'm going to roll with the Bears. I was just talking them up a little bit. I'm going to roll with the Bears. Their schedule is not that hard. It's not that hard. They have to play the Vikings twice. They have to play the Lions again. And then they play, okay, the Vikings twice, the Packers twice. So the Packers twice could be two losses. The Vikings twice, they could split. They can beat the Lions again. They can beat the Texans, and they can beat the Jaguars. So I think that their schedule is not too hard. There's probably three games in there that they're going to drop, maybe four. But I think that they could pull it out, be a 9-7, 8-8 team, and make the playoffs here. What do you think, Noah?
you got to roll with your Bears pick, man. You said at the beginning of the year that they were going to do better than expected. So they definitely have a chance to make it, like you said, on an extremely hard schedule. But I think that the Cardinals are a much better football team. So they would be my pick over the Bears. I also had the Falcons making the playoffs. Every year you seem to get me with these Falcons. I'm always kind of on the fence and you're just
convince me.
Come to the dark side, join the Falcons, flock up every year, and they just disappoint. But you know, on paper, they're so good every year, and then you just want to pick them every time. I don't know what it is, but I need the team to replace them. So for me, I'm actually gonna go with your Rams that you picked, but I'm also going to put the Cardinals in for my last wild card spot because I picked the Vikings for whatever dumb reason, and they suck. So not much else to say there other than Dalvin Cook's having a very solid season. But, yeah, they're not a playoff team by any stretch of the imagination. So my wild card adjustments will be Bucks, Rams, and the Cardinals.
I like that. The Cardinals are a very good team. They could easily sneak into that wild card spot right there. So that'll definitely be interesting to watch. You know, we're halfway through the season and things are looking very interesting around the league. And I think that they've been managing COVID in a good way up to this point. But that's still yet to be seen, you know, how they're going to finish the season off, and hopefully they will be able to. So, and they actually announced today, Noah, that if the season doesn't finish, they will just add two more playoff teams to each conference, which would make a total of 16 teams. Half the league would make the playoffs then if they were not able to finish the regular season. What do you think of that? I think it's fair. I think that's a fair way to do things. Half the league making the playoffs, I think that's a good idea. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. I mean, that's what they did with the NBA playoffs, I believe. Granted, I think that's how the format is normally to begin with. But still, you know, half the league, especially in a year with a shortened season, a couple of teams have had to switch their games around, like the Steelers and the Titans. They had to do some bye week flip-flops. We might have to see that coming up. The teams are running out of bye weeks too, so just stuff going on later in the year if COVID starts to ramp up. We're gonna have to roll on with the season. You can't cancel now, in my opinion. You're over the hump. You might as well finish it off. So I think it's fair. It's more playoff games. It's another opportunity for them to, you know, get revenue. So that'll save them in the pandemic too. And I won't complain about watching more football. I don't care what it is. At least it'll be on.
Exactly. Exactly. So, you know what, Noah, that's it for our show this week. You know, excited for the week ahead. Bunch of good games, especially finally a good Thursday night game. I mean, on paper, that game last week, the Packers-Niners should have been good, but the Niners were all injured. So this week, Titans-Colts going to be a great game, and I can't wait for the games this weekend, dude. It's been an absolute pleasure.
It's always an absolute pleasure, man. Great games coming up. I'll be excited to talk about it with you next week, and see you then.